Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's get started. Welcome back to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Monday, November the 8th, 2021. And aside from wanting things to change in the country politically, many people are voicing their opposition to the change back to standard time. We've been in daylight savings time since the early part of spring of 2021, and now we get up in the daylight and go home in the dark. It throws off the human body, throws off your clock, throws off your equilibrium, and causes you to have some stress that you ordinarily would not have to have. I am one of many millions of Americans who wish they'd just leave the damn time alone. Time, after all, is time. Who the hell is the government to tell you, oops, it's no longer this time, it's now an hour later or an hour earlier? It is ridiculous. It is something that has long since lost its need in our country. It's not like the farm kids have to hurry up and go out and milk the cows and gather up the eggs all over the country so that they can make it to the school bus on time. Those days are long gone. In fact, if you ask a college student now, where do eggs and milk come from? They tell you mom's refrigerator, or some of the more enlightened ones will tell you the grocery store. I just looked at USA Today and saw something very interesting. I saw the headline and I instantly responded, as I think you will respond. Here's the actual headline in USA Today. What is the one thing Americans want President Biden to do in the next year? We asked them. My instantaneous response to this headline was resign. I don't want him to die. I want him to simply resign and take Camel Toe Harris with him. And I want Nasty Nancy Pelosi to resign or be found guilty of some horrendous act of financial, fiscal irresponsibility with her dealings with her husband and all of their business ventures. Let's just call them that. USA Today says, what is the one thing Americans want President Biden to do in the next year? We ask them. Susan Page wrote, what do Americans want President Biden to do now? In the new USA Today Suffolk poll, they asked 1,000 registered voters to name the single thing that was most important for Gropey Joe to do in the next year. His fiercest opponents had an unlikely suggestion, to move out of the office he supposedly won a year ago. But the responses of others illustrates the mix of priorities and the electorate has in mind for your commander-in-chief. While surveys typically offer respondents options to choose among, this case, they were asked to volunteer any answer they wished. Here are the top 10 responses to, what do you want a Mr. Biden to do in the next year? Number one, with 20% responding, resign, retire, quit. 20%, right off the bat. What is the one thing you want from your president? Resign, retire, quit. Top response, 20%. Number two, 11% came in, fix the economy and jobs. Well, you could do that if you'd resign or quit. Number three, unite or help unite the country, 8%. 8% claimed immigration border patrol, or border control, rather. 6%, COVID and do something with mandates. 5%, infrastructure bills. 4%, inflation. 3%, health care. 3%, climate change. 3% bipartisanship. Focus on the economy has grown as concern about the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus pandemic has eased. And it hasn't eased because Gropey Joe's done a damn thing about it. It's eased because Americans woke up. They started to understand, realize, appreciate, and accept the fact that this China virus kills less than 0.003% of our population. Far fewer people die from COVID-19 in America than die in car crashes, or from heart attacks, or strokes, or from cancer, or from alcoholism, or drug overdoses. There was a yearning for more politically positive landscape. 10% said that's what they'd like, to see the bipartisanship and uniting the country combined. Some noticeable issues that didn't rank, meaning the topics mentioned by less than 2% of those surveyed, included government spending, the deficit, crime, the police, foreign policy. 2% says Biden should do everything next year. 1% said he should do nothing. The survey was taken last Wednesday through Friday. on landlines and cell phones. It also found that Republicans hold a clear advantage a year before the 2022 midterms. In fact, that poll says if the midterm elections were held today, respondents would vote for their Republican congressional candidate over the Democratic one by a 46-38% margin, an advantage that might bode well for GOP's hopes of retaining the majority, or regaining, rather, the majority in the House and the Senate. And in the same poll, Biden's approval rating has skidded to an embarrassing low of 38% just 11 months into office. Biden's bipartisan infrastructure bill, which passed Friday, was backed 2-1, while Americans were closely divided on the major social spending bill that they're now trying to ram down your throats. In the poll, 47% said they support a, what they're calling, $1.85 trillion social spending bill called the Build Back Better Act, but we all know it's more like a $4 trillion debacle, tax and spend and tax again plan. It is a mess. Gropey Joe Biden's approval rating is in the toilet, and there's turds afloat in. Politico says Trump, a 2024 announcement is probably coming after the midterms. Trump said he will probably wait till after next year's midterm elections to announce whether or not he will run again for president in 2024. He told Fox News, "I think a lot of people will be very, very happy, frankly, with the decision." Asked about the pack of other Republicans who have been the subject of speculation about a potential White House run, frontrunner Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, Nikki Haley, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Mr. Trump said, "Those hopefuls have already said they will defer to his decision as to whether or not they will run." He says, "We have a lot. They're all very well named, but almost all of them said if I run, they won't." I'm telling you, folks, I don't have an opinion yet about Trump 2024. The only person right now, barring some scandal in the state of Florida, that I would consider running against Gropey Joe Biden right now would be Ron DeSantis, whose COVID numbers, whose economy numbers, whose stance and position on illegal immigration, and all of the other things that make him a great governor, I think would make him a great president. So we'll have to wait, I think, until November of next year to find out if the Trumpster will run again. This is the Truth Hurts program. After months and months and months and months of failure, naughty, nasty, Nazi Nancy Pelosi managed to eke out a win for the $1.2 trillion so-called infrastructure bill, and Gropey Joe Biden, not wearing a mask, put his mask on right before walking out to a podium, and then took his mask off again, while Camel Toe Harris slump-shoulderedly stood by him as if she were his servant. Yeah. And he smiled and read from cue cards about what they're calling a Democrat victory on this infrastructure bill. "Mr. Biden, you are an idiot. It was a bipartisan infrastructure bill." Bipartisan, meaning both parties voted for the final approval of this. That's not just your victory, Mr. Biden. USA Today, of course, wants to make you think that there's a lot of division in D.C. Their article says, "House GOP members who voted for infrastructure bill face backlash from their Republican colleagues." Representative Andrew Garbarino of New York was one of the 13 Republicans who crossed the aisle and voted for that bipartisan bill, which passed 228-206. Some progressive Democrats voted against it, my friends, but you don't hear the media calling them out. Garbarino said, "After months of being held hostage by progressive Democrats, the House was finally able to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Make no mistake, tonight's vote was about roads, bridges, and clean water. It was about real people and the tangible actions Congress could take to better their lives by rebuilding and revitalizing our nation's crumbling infrastructure." Of course, Biden called the passage a monumental step forward as a nation, but the GOP members that voted for it faced some criticism afterwards for supporting the bill. Lauren Boebert of Colorado called them rhinos, Republicans in name only. She said, "Rhinos just passed this wasteful $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Pelosi did not have the votes in her own party to pass this garbage. Time to name names and hold these fake Republicans accountable." Mary Miller's a Republican from Illinois. She added to the backlash. She called colleagues who voted for the bill spineless on Twitter. She tweeted, only 3 days after voters rejected Biden's failed policies in deep blue Virginia and New Jersey, 13 spineless, in quotes, Republican, unquote, decided to tag team with Democrats and help pass their $5 trillion socialist takeover of our country. Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, I can't believe Republicans just gave the Democrats their socialism bill. Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia tweeted, the Republicans who voted with Democrats, quote, handed over their voting cards, unquote, to Pelosi to pass Biden's communist takeover of America via so-called infrastructure. Adam Kinzinger, however, who voted with the Democrats, hit back at Marjorie Taylor Greene. He wrote, infrastructure equals communism is a new one. Eisenhower's interstate system should be torn up, or else the commies will be able to conveniently drive. Red Dawn in real life. You know what, Kinzinger? You're a clown. You're a clown. The other Republicans who voted for this measure were Nicole Malliotakis of New York, David McKinley of West Virginia, Michigan's Fred Upton, Tom Reed of New York, New Jersey's Chris Smith, Don Bacon out of Nebraska, Jefferson Van Drew of New Jersey, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Don Young of Alaska, Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, and John Katko of New York were the other Republicans who voted for this measure. Six House Democrats, Representative Alexandria Horseface Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, Jamal Bowman of New York, Cori Bush of Missouri, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan all voted against the bill. They were seeking assurances that moderate Democrats would back Gropey Joe's so-called $1.85 trillion Build Back Better budget bill before they would vote on the infrastructure bill. That's right, six House Democrats, the squad, all voted against the infrastructure bill, but you don't see major headlines talking about that. They only want to focus on the Republicans who crossed the aisle and bravely supported the president. The so-called infrastructure package allocates some funding to modernize highways, rebuild some water lines, primarily in urban neighborhoods, and to put billions of dollars aside for electric vehicle charging stations. It is the largest transportation spending package in U.S. history, according to the wonderful folks at the USA Today. But if you look at where this money is going, it really doesn't help too many regular Americans at all. And the Democrat-supporting leftist liberal mainstream media is saying this was the boomerang week. This was the whiplash week that started out so horribly for Biden, but now it's a win, win, win for Biden and for the Democrats. There's an MSNBC host who made a very racist statement, but he'll keep his job. He might even get a promotion. He called whiteness, quote, a hell of a drug, unquote. Jonathan Capehart said whiteness is a hell of a drug on the Sunday show. He's alluding to the famous Chappelle Show bit. He says, fear worked and Youngkin won in a state President Biden won last year by 10 points. Youngkin won, Mr. Capehart, because nobody likes what Joe Biden is doing. Nobody likes the direction our nation is heading, Mr. Capehart. He made the comment on October 29th and said it again Sunday, referencing Glenn Youngkin's victory earlier in November in Virginia's governor's race. His running mate, Winsome Sears, became the first black female lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth, a place that pretty much started out as a slave state. The Wall Street Journal wrote an admonishing opinion article about Mr. Capehart after he said, quote, tap dancing with white supremacy is their way back into power. And then the Wall Street Journal wrote that admonishing article saying, despite what Democrats say, voters know their neighbors, and they don't see a racist society or country. Most Americans don't want the racial divisions that Democrats keep fomenting for political gain. Capehart wasn't the only MSNBC correspondent to decry so-called whiteness. Joy Reid, the idiot on television, called the issue of teaching critical racist theory, quote, code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching about race, unquote. She had a guest on her show who said of Winsome Sears, the problem is here, they want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect. There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea, running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices. Oh my God. They cannot wake up in the morning without trying to make some white guy out to be a racist or some black person with common sense out to be an Uncle Tom or a puppet, when the only puppet in this country right now is gropey Joe Biden. How low can you go? Guys, if you thought 38% approval rating for gropey Joe Biden was low, and it's heading further south, by the way, but that was the latest polling number. 38% of people say that gropey Joe Biden is doing a good job. Good job. 38%. But it gets worse. Camel Toe Harris's approval rating has dropped to 28%, a historic low for any modern era vice president. The public opinion against the Biden-Harris administration continues to drop into the toilet, and someone's getting ready to flush. USA Today's Suffolk poll from this weekend had grim numbers for Biden and Harris. Harris hit a historic low approval rating of 28%, and that was lower than Dick Cheney's all-time worst rating. The new poll was released on Sunday. Biden has been on a months-long slide towards historically poor polling numbers, but the numbers were even worse for Camel Toe Harris. Like I said, Biden 38, Harris 28, and 51% of Americans, a majority of Americans, say they disapprove of the job Camel Toe Harris is doing as VP. At this early stage of a modern presidency, her numbers are unprecedented. No one has gotten this low. The closest comparison, which involves a slightly different methodology, would be Dick Cheney, who was the most unpopular U.S. vice president in polling history, and his bottom number was 30% in a Gallup tracking survey. But it wasn't until the end of former President George W. Bush's second term in 2007, after Democrats had taken over the House and the Senate and started the country on the downward spiral that Barack Hussein Obama and gropey Joe Biden tried to blame on Bush, when it was their own Democrat majority in both houses of Congress who ushered in those horrendous times. When will these people just realize how badly they suck, do the right thing for America, and resign and walk away? This is the Truth Hurts program. I am going to come to the defense of an African-American rapper. A rapper. Somebody who raps for a living. You might have heard by now, 8 people have died and hundreds are reportedly seeking medical treatment for injuries they sustained during a concert stampede at the Astrodome. Astro World Festival goers say they witnessed dozens of people trampled by massive crowds. They saw teenagers giving one another CPR. They saw fans screaming out for help, which was reportedly slow to come after the Friday concert stampede. 8 people killed, scores reported injured, and rapper Travis Scott, the headliner of the festival, tweeted out on Saturday that he is absolutely devastated. A professional DJ named Billy Nasser told the USA Today, "People were trying to get closer to Travis and ignored the pile of people they were stepping on. Some were crying, others were bleeding from their faces, and I was the only one helping while the crowd just danced away." You were the only one helping? You? A lone hero? DJ Billy Nasser? I think you're full of crap. The lawsuits have already begun. The ambulance-chasing lawyers have already gotten on radio, television, and print ads throughout the Houston area saying things like, "If you were a victim of the stampede at the rapper Travis Scott concert, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Call the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe today." Nasser says he's worked and attended festivals such as Rolling Loud, and he said nothing compared to the madness he experienced at Astroworld. He noted there was a barricade around the crowd for Scott's set that made it nearly impossible to get out. He says he tried to lift people over the barricade and help younger attendees off the ground, but he say no one was there to help. Paramedics were not given enough space or a path to move because of the packed crowds, and the festival goers didn't stop dancing to notice. He said he witnessed bodies carried out on gurneys, women crying for help, and desperate people giving CPR to their unconscious friends. You sure they weren't just making out with the ones they roofied, Mr. Nasser? Just asking for a friend. He said, I had to check people's pulses, and I was screaming to guide paramedics to our section. The image of this one kid with unresponsive, lifeless eyes is forever ingrained into my head. I just knew he and so many others were dead. Really? Sounds a little exaggerated to me. Here's the deal, folks. If you go to a concert, is it the guy on stage's fault if a bunch of idiots decide to start pushing forward and run over each other? Of course not. I have to come to the rapper's rescue here. I have to. It's not his fault that idiot morons, for one, would pay money to go see someone rap. That's not music. That's just my opinion. Number two, if the idiots in the crowd started pushing forward and the rapper wasn't saying, come on, everybody, get close to the stage. Come on, everybody, and show your age or some crap like that, it ain't his fault. Rene Perez and Charles Alford attended the festival. They say they were shocked by the number of people passing out or being, quote, crushed in, unquote, by the crowds. As people in need were screaming, Perez says paramedics struggled to get through the crowds. On multiple occasions, he saw concertgoers jump on the top of emergency response vehicles and security golf carts. Perez told USA Today,
it was insane and dangerous. It was dark and you saw people reaching their hands out from the ground, and me and my friend tried to help them. It just felt like staffing was low, and it felt like we were the only ones helping.
Bad news. You couldn't have been the only ones helping, because the other DJ Nasser said he was the only one helping. Someone's lying. Alford considers himself a bigger guy at 286 pounds. He said even he struggled to move through the crowd. He said he felt helpless and scared because as much as he tried, he couldn't lift everyone out of the barricade or through the crowd. As he tried to carry a woman away from the stage area, people pushed against him and security was nowhere to be seen. He said, I had a I might die moment. I saw almost no one helping people, and I even started to fall and my chest felt heavy. My survival mode kicked in. I was terrified because the music didn't stop and people didn't seem to come. Taylor Lee was elbowed in the face and had her hair yanked and was shoved to the ground while trying to move away from the chaotic crowd. She says she was shocked. People were enjoying the festival when others were screaming for help and being trampled. Lee, who attended with her sister, says she wouldn't return to another festival after the terrifying Astroworld experience. She says,
I was having a little bit of a panic attack because the crowd was so packed and I lost my sister. At one point, I had people really close to my chest. I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Hours after the festival, Alford said he still struggles to understand how everything went so wrong and said the deaths were preventable. They were. Everybody should have stayed the hell home. He said, I saw people collapse and some just kept dancing. It felt and was inhumane. 8 people didn't need to die. People paid to come to a festival and died. Listen, my friends, I don't know how many concerts you've been to. I don't know how many open-air events you've been to. I don't know how many Mardi Gras you've been to. Here's the bottom line. When the music is very loud and the stage lights are blinding you on stage, you're doing your show. People want to see you, and the lights are blinding you. You can't see everything that's going on in a crowd, especially at a rock concert or a rap event. Those mosh pits get started down there near the front. The crowd starts swaying back and forth, forward and backward. Everybody's dancing. Your music is 30, 40, 100, 200, 300,000 watts. Lights are flashing. They're in your face, the lights are. You can't see what's going on out there. If no one saw it from the stage, they could not have told the people performing to turn off the music. If the artist on the stage was unaware of what was happening below, he could not warn the people to stop, freeze in place. Everybody push backwards. Did the event lack proper security? Who knows? We'll have to let the police sort that out. But for right now, I'm doing something you've never heard me do on the Truth Hurts program. Right this moment, I'm defending an African-American rapper because it's not his fault that his concert goers are all idiots, morons, and stoopnagles. Where was Dr. Anthony Fauci to be on the stage screaming at all these young people
that they should be socially distanced, 6 feet apart.
No one was wearing magic masks. I guess COVID really did just go away, if you're members of certain communities. This is the Truth Hurts program. The Louisiana Renaissance Festival is open in Hammond, Louisiana, if you happen to get down this way. I think it's the next 5 weekends. It is just a fun time for the whole family, good, wholesome family entertainment, jousting and sword fighting and all those things. There's a blacksmith shop, all of the traditional arts and crafts, and all of the food choices in a real setting that reminds you of the movie The Knight's Tale, or one of those medieval kind of places. Little shops and all types of fun. It was one of my late son Jonathan's favorite places to hang out one or two weekends a year. Go dressed up like the great pirate Jonathan and had fun. Just had a really good time. This past weekend, I was the MC and DJ, so I got both titles, I guess, of a classic Volkswagen show called Buggin' the Big Easy. 115 classic air-cooled Volkswagen cars, a few of the old air-cooled Porsches. I was missing the Corvair. I usually see a Corvair at the air-cooled event, but the owner of this classic Corvair had another engagement, so we didn't get to see that classic. It was fun. We held this out at the Esplanade Mall in the parking lot. We had a whole area cordoned off to ourselves. Brought the big toy hauler down the night before, camped out in the parking lot of the Esplanade Mall. And I want to thank the city of Kenner, Louisiana for their hospitality and their police presence, making sure that nothing got stolen and order was maintained. It was a great event. Really, really had a good time. You get a chance, come on down and check out the Renaissance Festival in Hammond, Louisiana. Also, we have the fall festival season underway, and people in South Louisiana are not letting Hurricane Ida get them down. Every year, Catholic schools and other church organizations, municipalities, civic groups, they hold open-air festivals. The Destrehan Plantation Fall Festival is coming up next weekend in Destrehan, Louisiana, a little north of New Orleans, I guess you'd say northwest, in the town of Destrehan, right along the River Road. It is the classic plantation home, complete with plantation tours, food, drinks, arts and crafts, music, traditional music. And it's really a good time, folks. I don't ever recommend anyone go to the city of New Orleans. It is a crap hole. It is a high crime infested, drug dealing, carjacking, murder, rape, robbery fest down there every day. And if you drive your car over the massively destroyed, neglected streets with the major potholes, tree roots and things sticking up out of the ground. It really looks like a third world country in many parts of the city of New Orleans. But you can still fly into New Orleans International Airport, which is not located in the city of New Orleans, but rather in the city of Kenner to the west of town. You can fly in, grab a rental car, and head on over to the Destrehan Plantation Fall Festival or the Renaissance Festival in Hammond, Louisiana, and have a really good time without ever having to spend one dime of money in that cesspool, that festering hellhole, that corrupt, improperly run, AA, 13% hyphenated American run garbage hole that is the city of New Orleans. There are some good restaurants down there if you want to risk your life going there, but that's up to you. Other than that, that's about all the time we have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go on out there and make it a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are free speech protected under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautics.